Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It's something we all should engage in.
No, I don't think so, Ms. Monica. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation. It talks about violence. I think we can agree that violence shouldn't be condoned or looked aside from in any way, swept under the rug at all. But harassment and intimidation, what did those terms mean in the context of a local school board meeting? I mean, this seems to, in the First Amendment context, we talk about the chill to speech.
Yeah, boy, it's getting icy, isn't it? The National School Board Association calling on the Biden administration to consider parental protests to be a form of domestic terrorism. So is questioning an election, right? That's a form of domestic terrorism. Just having white skin and being cisgender is a form of domestic terrorism. They're really making this way too easy to absolutely destroy this new narrative, right? That Americans don't have a right to free speech, the ability to protest. Now, I don't expect many Republicans to stand up because we already know they're sitting. They're not going to stand up. We already know that. But Senator Josh Hawley, he was going after Secretary from Attorney General Merrick Garland's office here in a Senate committee meeting. Listen,
waiting for hours in the school board meetings. We've all seen the videos. This happened in my state. Parents have waited for hours. Sometimes the school board meetings have been ended before they can speak because the school board doesn't want to hear it. And now parents are told that if they wait and they express their views, that they may be investigated for intimidation?
I don't know who's telling them that, Senator. The job of the Justice Department is to investigate crimes. When a situation turns to violence, when and if a situation turns to violence, it's the job of the Justice Department and local law enforcement.
If their lips are moving, they're lying.
To address that. The Attorney General's memorandum simply asked the U.S. Attorney community, the FBI, and their counterparts to ensure that state and local law enforcement has an open line of communication to report threats, whether they happen in the context of election officials being threatened, whether they haven't happened in the context of members of Congress being threatened, which the FBI responds to on a regular basis, as is appropriate. The job of the Justice Department is to address criminal conduct.
Okay, Biden administration going to war against parents, and they're investigating criminal conduct. Why would the FBI be involved with this at all?
I don't. You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them, you are attempting to silence them, you are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents, and yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong, this is dangerous, and I cannot believe that an Attorney General of the United States is engaging in this kind of conduct. And frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions.
Good.
You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject. We need to hear from the Attorney General himself. He needs to come here, take the oath, sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say, I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
It is. It's the first shot in a cold civil war. They're attacking parents. Attorney General Merrick Garland, we're finding out today, well, and this a little bit interesting. The Attorney General instructed now the FBI to start investigating parents who were going after the school board over critical race theory. Looky here, Attorney General Merrick Garland's daughter, little Rebecca, Rebecca Garland. She married Zan Tainer. Mr. Tainer is the current co-founder of the education service company called Paranorma Education. What do they do? Oh, they're the material provider to school districts that teach critical race theory. You got the Attorney General instructing the FBI to go after parents who pose a financial threat to the business of your daughter's husband? Yeah, that is exactly what this is. Oh, my. Here,
tell us what exactly you think your members need.
Well, we need support. We need reinforcement of the sort that the community can give us. But more importantly, these are real threats, Brianna, that you just saw, that we all just saw.
She's lying. And I have to, paint theater of the mind right here. That's the National School Board Association President Viola Garcia saying all these threats that you just showed right there, the unspeakable violence. Viola, the only thing that's missing with this is violence. In clip one, it showed upset parents. Yes, one parent actually telling another to calm down, which I would assume would be a school board member who was sitting in their car. The one that said, "We know who you are. You will never be allowed in public again." But how is that any different than this?
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
We are the storm. And we are here already. And when this whole thing crumbles to the ground, we will be here to hold you accountable for your crimes against humanity.
Okay, no right, more
right
masks.
Here, look, right here.
So there's two women tussling. Two women.
Fists are flying. All of this on live television.
Oh, my. Two.
Fists are flying.
You are allowing child abuse. You are allowing child abuse. You are allowing child abuse. You are allowing child abuse.
Stop it.
You, with your snotty little face, you're allowing it as well.
Get the FBI. She called a snotty little face and was pointing a finger. Put that finger back in the holster, says FBI. Clip two showed a parent at a school board meeting. He said, and I'm going to come for everybody that comes at my kid with this stupid, ridiculous mandate. There's no threat of violence there. Clip number three that they showed that the Viola was talking about with CNN. It was a non-agenda speaker. They said, "We are the storm." Here's the quote. "And we are here already. And when this whole thing crumbles to the ground, we will be here to hold you accountable for your crimes against humanity." Oh, no, you can't. You can't threaten to hold elected officials accountable. We can't have that in this country. Another clip that was there showed an angry mob standing outside to be some kind of lobby, and they were chanting, "No more mask. No more mask.
We need to get vaccinated."
Another clip showed a woman pointing to each individual board member and saying, "You heard right there, you're allowing child abuse." And the big finish. I'm sure this is the one that just pushed them over the line to get the FBI involved when she said, "With your snotty little face." How dare. I'm glad CNN has all this archives of this video footage, to show people. You got angry parents yelling. How dare they threaten to hold people accountable?
And they're occurring with greater frequency. So our letter to the White House really is indicative of the seriousness of the situation for school board members, but more especially for students in our public schools.
Oh, yeah. You've been so caring about the students in public school. You had a hearing on Thursday. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona, he was asked about who he believes. Who's the primary stakeholder in the education of your child? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Secretary of Education. He got a little squirmy. He was asked point blank whether or not parents are the primary stakeholders when it comes to the education of their children. You know what he said? He says parents should not be the primary stakeholder in your kids' education. So they're not even hiding behind the fact that the government is way better at handling your child's education than you are. That's why they're going to war against parents.
We as school board members have been in communication with our communities for years. School board members really aim to listen to the community.
What? You school board members do it? They listen to the...
Aim to listen to the community. We're respectful of the opinions. We understand that there are various opinions.
You obviously haven't been to the worst school district this side of the Mississippi, Viola.
And school board members have been working during the pandemic, during this heightened political environment.
We've Good for you.
Been working You've been for working. A year and a half during the pandemic. We've safely gotten students back in school. We know those are the most important things.
You can't have those upset parents, man. Absolutely not. You can't have civil protests, right?
I believe that protest is at the centerpiece of our democracy. Oh. I believe that the Constitution guarantees us freedom of speech. And I think that protest is civil protest. And so I don't know why the president chose to stretch that out and try to imply that I was causing harm.
Oh, no. Yeah, you got to support that, don't you? Yeah, Democrats support protests. Sure they do. You can actually burn down America. The letter sent to Joe Biden by the National School Board Association reads, they're soliciting the expertise and resources of Department of Justice, FBI, Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Secret Service, and the National Threat Assessment Center. Don't let them scare you. Do not let them scare you. This is how important it actually is for them to get this across. To get it across. Beth, 559-230-4242. Let's go to Beth. Thanks for the call. You're going to have to answer it on your side there, Chris. I'm going to have to ask you, if you don't mind there. Beth, are you on?
Hello. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you loud and clear. I had a freeze up on my side of the computer. I apologize. Go ahead. You're live.
No problem. Interesting how you said that the AG's daughter is married to the guy that does the supplies, because a lot of people don't know that education is the third largest expenditure of government makes. First, it's infrastructure in the government, you know, the running of the government, then it's military and defense, and then it's education. Educational, like, say, people that are account executives for educational companies, it's lucrative like pharmaceutical reps. It's, you make very good money.
Now, and they go around and they sell it to school districts, and they're selling it as ethnic studies in California. This is beyond anything. I didn't think they would go this hardcore this quick, but what's to stop them, right?
Well, hey, and then I've called your station before about how the kids all have laptops that are issued from the districts now and the tablets and stuff. And if they're making this comments about CRT terroristic threats, just be careful what you say around your kids when they're online doing homework, or if they're, you know, if you still have your kids online at home during the day. Because those things will pick up things that involve terroristic threats. And so if they've now added that to it, that gaggle.net, that's a third-party company that catches that stuff and sends it to the district or to the police department in your area. You know, just FYI.
I would just, FYI, I think I would just go use some of that Hillary Clinton, bleach bit or whatever it was, and destroy those. I wouldn't want it in my house. I wouldn't allow it in my house. Gaggle.net. And you know this for a fact, that these school district issued laptops have the
live. Oh, yeah, they all have them. For Fresno Unified, Clovis uses a different one. I know this very well because of a situation with my son. So, you know, just if your kids say anything about CRT and that is now considered terroristic threats, your kids will have a harassment report at least filed on them, where at least the principal has to investigate it. Just FYI for anything like that.
We live in a whole new world. Beth, I appreciate the call at 559-230-4242. Hey, Democratic Party, Fresno Unified School District, all you feminist Marxists on the board, I have a serious question for you regarding your love for women. How many mamas, how many mothers do you think had to quit work in the last year to take care of the children that you sent home to, quote, distance learn, right? I got the follow-up to that, and I'll give you the number next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We're talking massive nonstop numbers. Over 1 million encounters here at the southern border already so far this year. More than 400,000 known gotaways. The last 2 months, more than 200,000 encounters at the border each month. In the last two alone, you're talking record numbers for the past 20 years. Nothing has been slowing down. The administration says this was seasonal. It would slow down in the summer heat. That didn't turn out to be true. The crisis here has only gotten worse. So these 10 GOP governors coming down here to hold a press conference to figure out some potential next steps.
All right, we'll see those governors getting together. What are they going to figure out? Well, follow our immigration laws. 559-230-4242, Madero Ranchos. Hi, Pete.
Hello, Trevor. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet,
man. I'm a first generation American. My mom and dad both born and raised in the same small town in Italy. And what is happening in this country is everything that our parents warned us about. Everything they left Italy for, everything their friends who left other countries for to come here is now happening here. And we are about to become that country. We are about to become overly controlled, and they're going to scare us into being, they want us to be afraid. This is what they want.
Fear,
it's intentional.
Isn't it way easier to control somebody when there is fear? And as we see,
when this pandemic ends, and it will end soon, we're not going to go back to normal.
It's not going to end soon, and you're right, Pete. They don't have any intention of going back to what we remember normal being, do they?
No, and I'm afraid it might be too late, and I am scared that we will see bloodshed on this soil again.
Pete, that's why courage is recommended. And let me ask you, I think I even gave the illustration of back in Buffalo, the Italians, and they would talk about their grandmother would say, you know, you can learn Italian, but we're going to speak English in this house. What was it like with your parents? You said your first generation. Do you remember Italian spoken in the house all the time, or were they of the sort of, Pete, you need to learn, you know, English?
Well, when we were young, yeah, we did speak Italian. I actually started school at Wishon Elementary School. I didn't even know my name in English.
Interesting.
They realized very quickly. I'm 57 years old now. They realized very quickly, you know, we got to make this change. It has to happen now. So they immersed us completely in this culture, which is our culture. This is who we are.
Well, whether it's immigration or if it's in the school, Pete, with critical race theory, they're dividing at every single angle. Pete, thank you for that call. See, that's America, and it is a melting pot, as we've seen. But as we know right now, that this melting pot, that's racist to say. To say, I'm colorblind. I look at people as all just people inside. I don't look at their... Stop being a cisgender racist, right? I would like to ask the Democratic Party, I would like to ask those that have voted Democrat, I would like to ask the Fresno Unified School District, those ladies.
Radical leftist race-hating victimhood proselytizers.
Yeah, those on the board, I got a serious question about, you know, you love women. Boy, they're always talking about their love for women. What is liberating, ladies, about 2 million mothers quitting work in the last year? Yeah, they had to trade their jobs because they, and it's not like these mothers were like, oh, I got to go home and take care of my, but it hurt them financially because, see, they were in school, and now when they were sent home, right, see, there's a lot of people that have, let's just say, maybe a couple more zeros on their paycheck than some people who might can afford a nanny, a homeschool tutor to come over, maybe a babysitter, or maybe have family members around, a mom, a grandmother that could watch your kids for you, something like that, right? But most didn't. In September of 2020 alone, more than 800,000 women left the workforce. That number is now to 2 million. Most of them are leaving or are getting downsized. And, you know, you got to keep food on the table, but you also got to take care of your kids. And these women, they're, mothers have that instinct that I will say that fathers do not. And fathers have instincts that mothers do not. And that's why it's better for kids to be raised by one of both. But many of these women, they feel it in their bones, right? Their kids. They knew their kids needed stability for these children and who were just, you know, we know as adults how we've had to deal with it, and it's felt kind of psychotic at times. Imagine kids, and I was imagining kids with those face masks on at school. 2 million mothers left. So this next number kind of goes in line with that as well. 1.5 million students left traditional public schools over the last year. Got to get school choice on the ballot in 2022. This public school enrollment is down in all 50 states. Charter school enrollment up 7% across the board. The biggest increase was in Alabama. Charter school enrollment up 65%. Oklahoma, it grew 78%. We get it on the ballot in California, and you get that $14,000, or was it $12,000 per child? I think it's $12,000. Was it 14? Yeah, it's 12 or 14 per child that you could use however you saw fit as a parent, as opposed to the now $20,000 that the school district gets paid per child when you're in the public school district. So, this school choice is it. Homeschooling and private schooling rates are going off the charts, as we've seen, especially with Newsom's announcement of the mandate. And that's what I want to know. Parents, I want to hear from you. I feel sorry for you. What are you going to do? 559-230-4242. The only way that I can assist you is to continue to hold our local, our state, our national elected leaders. Well, not leaders, officials, national, elected officials. We got to hold their feet to the fire of this intended fiasco of fascism that is being forced upon the good, hardworking families of this valley. I got three words. They don't care. I got three more words. They must go. 559-230-4242. What are you going to do?
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Cooling down tomorrow. Highs in the 70s. Chance of rain tomorrow night and 50% chance of rain on Friday. Woo! I just heard some people go, woo, right? Well, if you're going to go in front of your school board and protest critical race theory, if you're going to go protest to your school board members and to the superintendent and that... We shouldn't be judging children and telling them to look at each other through the lens of race. That's not American.
It's racist.
Yeah, it kind of is, Al. Actually, Al, that is exactly what racism means. What being racist means is seeing people by their skin pigmentation, right? What if we, instead of by skin, what if we did all this by hair color? Or whether you have hair or not? We don't divide like that, but it's no different than our skin color. Whew. What are you going to do, parents, with this mandate? California, Governor Newsom, first in the state. He's all proud of it. We are in the red part of the recall. It wouldn't have been this way if California had gone the way of sane-minded Central Valley folks. Like, oh, I tell you, I don't know what you're going to do. Don't know what you're going to do, parents, but you can let me know. 559-230-4242. Yesenia Sanger, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
My reason for calling in is because I am actually in favor of parents taking control of this education again. I kind of feel like we fell asleep at the wheel. And being from Sanger, geographically, we were kind of avoiding all of the big city politics that comes from San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sacramento. And we've noticed that it has infiltrated. We've noticed it in the curriculum. So when this school year began, as a family, we decided to homeschool this year, anticipating that if Newsom remained in office, that he would make vaccines mandated for K through 12th grade.
And that's what he's going to do. But Yesenia, get ready for him to come for homeschoolers as well. I know that you feel like that's a safety net right now in California, the last one that you really have. But don't you see him coming after families like yourself that maybe decided to homeschool, or people that have been doing it for years?
Absolutely. One of the things is, and I don't believe this is a coincidence, he made the announcement about the mandates on October 1st. October 1st is the cutoff in order to enroll in an alternative form of learning. So at 11:59 p.m. on October 1st was the deadline to sign up your students. So I don't believe that that's an accident, and I believe that he is coming for homeschoolers. He's going to make it near impossible for you to homeschool, and probably really impossible for you to claim any form of exemption.
We all need to get exemptions out of our minds. They're not taking those. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right. So the homeschooling system that we work for, they obviously don't require vaccination.
Yet.
Are concerned that they are going to come after them. I've heard from some of the administrators that they are concerned that they are next on the chopping block.
I'm sure it's coming. And what kind of, to talk to other parents out there, what kind of program are you homeschooling with? Did you sign up with some program, or how are you doing that?
Well, we are working with a charter school that is here in the Valley, but they do not require vaccination. You can mold the curriculum depending on your child's needs, add and remove courses, and you can really be in charge of your child. If your child is lacking in a subject, you could really focus a lot of time where your child is lacking. And that is something that schools don't really offer anymore.
What are your kids' ages?
It would be 8 and 11.
What's their first reaction to this, Ben? What have they been doing it like a month or two now?
Yes, we are on week 8.
How are they liking it?
Yes. So at first they were a little hesitant. I think it was hard because they miss friends and they do miss their teachers and the routine that they were used to. But now they can be done with school in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then really focus on the parts where the gaps, especially since essentially they had a gap year last year. So this year we're really focusing on.
I lost. Oh, I got you back right there. Well, ages 8 and 11, and the social aspect, Yesenia, that of you get along or go out and let them hang out with other homeschooling kids or their friends, I guess, in the normal school. How are you handling that aspect of it?
Yeah, so that part's a little tricky. We're still kind of getting the hang of it, but we're hanging out with friends, and we are going to public places like the zoo, and you can tie in a trip to the aquarium and tie it into the curriculum that they're learning at home. So it opens it up. And there are also groups that we are now getting in contact with where you can socialize your kids. And just because I believe that part's also important.
No field trips to L.A., though, to the L.A. zoo. Absolutely not. Yesenia, I remember when we homeschooled. Well, I say we. Their mom did, my ex-wife. She did most of it. I was just kind of the principal because I was at work in the day. But I remember the first day of their homeschool, I said, I'm going to teach history class. So I took them out, the older kids, and we went out to a field out in Elk Grove. I drove out in the middle of a field. We parked. We got out. We walked out. I go, okay, imagine landing from another country and you don't have a toothbrush. You don't have a house. Where would you start? And they were like, wow, that was like what the pilgrims were like, right? I was like, yeah. And imagine having hostile Native Americans around you. I found it extremely rewarding. And like you said, you can get it done in 4 hours. And when we think back to school, how much of school is, okay, get in line, okay, let's do this, sit down, stand up, be quiet, you do that, Johnny, stop doing it. So much of that is not learning going on. So you can get it done in 4 hours. And I found an upside to it. We even took a trip in January to go see family back east, and I had some clients back there, but we drove across the country and did homeschooling on the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely liberating to be able to, and I have to say, I heard you talking about how in politics and really in the left, how they talk about empowering women. But in reality, it kind of seems like a lot of the things that have happened over the past year have actually taken power away from women. But I know that sometimes it's frowned upon for you to be a stay-at-home mom or to homeschool your kids, but I actually find it really empowering to be able to not only carry your children for 9 months, but now you're completely in charge of their education and what they learn and being able to enjoy that part of being a woman. So to me, there's so much power in being able to educate your own kids.
Shh, you might get arrested. Don't say that so loud.
You're going on some list now, I'm sure of it.
I love that call. Thank you for that explanation right there. And if you're thinking, well, we can't afford to do that. We got to have both incomes coming in. There is a way where you can get together with other like-minded families where you can rotate the process so you don't have to quit your job. You can even do school at different times of the day. Think of it in that way. Think of ways to improvise right now. And so many people bring up the social aspect. Like, your kids aren't going to get the social aspect at the public school. And you know what I said when we homeschooled? I said, exactly. Yes, that's why we're doing it.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, let's look real quick. When do you think daylight saving time? Aren't we getting pretty close to that? Is it the first Sunday in November? I thought they moved it up a little quicker. Let me look at my calendar here. It's not going to show it on here. Oh, daylight saving time's in Sunday, November 7. You're correct, Sunday. So we got another. That's why they call him Agent Squires. That's right. So we got another month. I was just thinking it's going to be now dark when we get off work. So I guess we'll have to carry a flashlight in today's society, because from last fall, the transient panhandling population of walked around drugged out zombie looking addicts is way bigger in this part of town than it was last year. So, yep. You gotta know how you roll in this city. Over the past 6 weeks, hospitalizations have dropped 69% in Florida, and they haven't confined anybody at home. They haven't done the mask mandate. They haven't done the school vaccine mandates. A drop in 69%. And, you know, they all the jokes, right? All the late night comedians, Governor DeSantis, and announced this week his wife, the first lady of Florida, has breast cancer. Young mom, healthy. Hopefully she will be able to get over that. But, that was some sad news coming out of the DeSantis family right now. But the Florida COVID data is actually beating out blue states that are still using mandates from back in 2020. On September 30th, Florida saw a single-day number of COVID cases at 4,781. Meanwhile, New York had almost 5,000, 4,979. Hospitalizations in Florida are down 69% in the past few weeks without any change, any statewide policy. There's no new mask mandates. They have schools open. There's no vaccine passports. Isn't it amazing how that decline is? It's always ignored. CNN, MSNBC, they'll call him Governor DeSantis. Oh, it's That's so clever, Governor DeSantis. It's nowhere near as clever as Governor Face Mask Gagging Gruesome. New Zealand had a COVID zero strategy because they no cases or you had to stay locked down. Well, guess what? They've officially now over a year and a half of making sure people stay in their house. They just admitted that it failed. They've now gone back to not even a blending. They're just gone back to living with COVID. Miss Ardern, New Zealand's prime minister, stated the strategy has failed. We're transitioning from our current strategy into a new way of doing things. I wish we could do that around here, but no, we can't do that, can we?
People aren't regulated.
No, that means people are now going to be allowed to meet outdoors for the first time since this last summer. Boy, crazy freedoms. Woo, outdoors. Look at that. Kids get to go to parks. You can go to the beach. Crazy freedom going on as well. Well, we know they had 27 new cases in New Zealand, 27 cases, and they were keeping the country locked down. They got a plan. Want to vaccinate 90% of the population. New Zealand right now, are they going along with that? Did the mandates, you have to stay in your house or you're going to be in trouble? Did people come around and go, okay, we'll get the vaccine? In New Zealand right now, 39% of the country's been vaccinated. So they tried all the, here in California, you know, the million-dollar raffles, the Big Friday game shows that Newsom did, right? All of that, the free beer and donuts, $100 cash, all these contests, all these incentives, right, to get the injection. And I guess somehow they feel that didn't work, so they're kind of moving away from incentivizing people, right? Now they're trying to incentivize you, like, with job loss. You don't have privileges. You want to go to L.A.? You might want to rethink that.
The L.A. City Council voted to require vaccine proof in order to enter restaurants, gyms, salons, shopping malls starting November 4th. Essential places like grocery stores and pharmacies are exempt. Those with approved religious or medical exemptions have to show a negative COVID test result within the prior 72 hours or be offered outdoor services. Businesses that don't comply will be warned at first but then face fines. There was some pushback here. Business groups like the L.A. Chamber of Commerce noted L.A.'s rules will be different from other cities that are even within LA's boundaries, as well as the county's rules. They want a statewide rule. One councilman who voted against this measure is running for mayor. He said the rules here are as clear as mud and unenforceable.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that here in the Valley, especially here in Fresno County, because we got a very strong county board of supervisors. We got a strong Republican mayor.
Mayor Jerry, I don't want to get you in trouble out in Fresno, California.
All right, here's how they're going to do it now. They're going to incentivize you by giving you a higher health insurance cost. On your premiums. So they'll try and get you that way as well. I was telling you that I saw a story and I did not know enough on it yet to say if it was true or not. I'm now going to report what the Washington Post has now followed up on this story that was out today. A Colorado-based health system say they're denying organ transplants to patients that are not vaccinated in almost all situations. Let me repeat that. Let this sink in. A Colorado-based health system denying organ transplants to patients not vaccinated against the coronavirus. Each day, it gets worse and worse and worse. And each day, I get sicker and sicker and sicker at my stomach at the lack of backbone, at the lack of courage from the people we elected to represent us.
I feel fear. In my life, I ain't met many people that will readily admit when they are afraid. And I think that's because deep down, they know how easy it spreads. See, fear is like a disease. When it moves like wildfire. But what happens when, even in the face of that fear, you do what you gotta do? That's called courage. And just like fear, courage is contagious. And I think that we are the wall between the normal folks and the people that use their power to spread fear and hate. Especially in times like these.
My point today of doing my job was to show you that we got a different type of courage than what the greatest generation of the 40s had to muster up, because they had support all around them. We don't even now know, is a school board trustee going to turn us into the FBI? Is our neighbor going to turn us in because we don't like critical race theory? We're going to talk more about this. These are serious times. Thanks to Agent Squires. God willing, back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. John Girardi, he's coming up next. Good night.